Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. All this week, WBUR's Bostonomics team has been exploring the future of work. Technology, artificial intelligence, gig employment, it's all creating shockwaves of change in how we work. Today, in our final installment of the series, reporter Bruce Gellerman looks at how manufacturing is changing in Massachusetts. Now, just 7% of the state's workforce is in manufacturing, but they produce 10% of the state's economic output. We'll hear a bit more from Bruce in a minute, but first, here's his report on how a new industrial revolution is promising to transform how things are made and the roles of workers.
The factory floor at Custom Machine Group in Woburn is filled with dozens of multi-million dollar metal cutting machines, some the size of SUVs. The place is spotless.
Yeah, it doesn't look like an old Rosie Derivative machine shop, right?
Carl Pesciuto is president of Custom Machine, which mass produces precision parts.
Every machine that you see here has a computer on it. That's a multi-axis horizontal milling machine. It's all automated.
The guy that was standing there, is he running the machine at all?
All he does is load the component in, hits the button, and inspects after it comes out.
Welcome to Massachusetts' new industrial revolution, where workers armed with computing power and automation have made manufacturing a comeback story in the Commonwealth. Today, companies in the state literally make everything from soup to nuts, $48 billion a year worth of golf balls, razor blades, and jet engines, knee implants, missiles, even horseshoes. Carl Pesciuto.
There is nothing that is produced from clothing to food. Even the air in the room is processed by something. And when's the last time you saw an air conditioner tree that you could just pick an air conditioner off of? So this field is like the air in the room. Nobody notices it's there until it's gone.
Despite the heavy dose of factory automation, there's a critical shortage of skilled machinists who program the computerized tools, cut precision dies, and manage the complex manufacturing process.
It's your life, your future. Now is the time to make something of it.
This is an ad for the Center for Manufacturing Technology. The Pesciuto family started the state-certified school a decade ago when it couldn't find enough skilled machinists for its plant.
Take pride in making it at the Custom Group.
Old school. Yeah, this is old school, and that's what we teach.
It's back to basics for Cosmo Pesciuto. He founded Custom Machine in the 1960s. Now he teaches a class in Metal Shop 101 to students, mostly immigrants, who start learning the machinist craft on an antique lathe that predates the company, before manufacturing jobs were lost to low-cost factories overseas.
We lost 40 years of old school, and we have to bring it back. We're looking for people, we can't get them, so we have to train them.
Today, a quarter of a million Massachusetts workers are employed in manufacturing. But less than 9,000 are skilled machinists. And Carl Pesciuto says they're in high demand.
We're not even playing catch-up. We're running way behind. They're gobbled up before they even graduated. We have a pretty much 100% placement of everybody.
Machinist salaries range from $15 an hour, plus a lot of overtime for an inexperienced journeyman, to $150K a year for an expert. Those craftsmen who can mill a piece of metal with an artistic touch to within a few millionths of an inch.
It's really watching a Picasso get done in real time here.
Chris DiBiasio is group leader for advanced manufacturing at Cambridge-based Draper.
We actually don't even call them machinists at their highest classification here. We call them instrument makers.
Draper has its own in-house machine shop. Here, instrument makers turn computerized drawn art into precision parts. Small sensors, pumps, and components that can be implanted into people to deliver medicine, used in weapon systems, or sent into space. DiBiasio says a constant challenge is finding young machinists to replace retiring craftsmen.
Do they have the chops to be able to do real manual precision, you know, turning on a lathe or cutting with a mill? And if they have the hands-on skills, then you try to figure out, okay, can I then transform and take that next step into precision instrument maker?
DiBiasio leads the way off the noisy machine shop floor, through a door, leading into a new machine age.
This is the future of manufacturing now, right? That's what everyone will tell you, and this is our additive manufacturing facility. You see, it's a lot quieter.
Here, instead of computerized milling machines and skilled machinists, advanced whisper-quiet 3D printers add layer upon layer of materials, building complex components. Carl Bass is CEO Emeritus of Autodesk, a company that pioneered additive manufacturing software and 3D printing.
What we're doing with digital design and fabrication is rewriting the rules of the Industrial Revolution.
The price of 3D printers is dropping rapidly. Advanced materials, glass, metals, and plastics are being developed. And while additive machines can't print as precisely as skilled machinists can mill, Bass says that's quickly changing too.
What we're now able to do with these new kinds of digital factories is make things in small quantities, where you get the same kind of quality you get in the large thing, but at that same low cost. It also leads to things like mass customization, and that's dramatically different.
A digital 3D factory is already transforming manufacturing in Massachusetts. Boston-based New Balance is using advanced 3D printers made by Somerville's Form Labs to produce custom-made running shoes. Catherine Petreka is with New Balance.
We're actually able to get information from you, either get data or what your preferences are, and make you that part on demand with printing in much better and shorter supply chain than we can with traditional techniques.
3D printers may never be able to produce a Picasso the way a skilled instrument maker can precisely mill a piece of metal, but advanced printers can make instruments. Alexander Gomenik worked at Form Labs while an MIT grad student. At a recent conference at the school called The Digital Factory, he played a nylon violin produced on a 3D printer.
In terms of design, it looks like Stradivarius, but it doesn't sound like Stradivarius yet.
It's predicted the overall number of manufacturing jobs in Massachusetts will hold steady in the near future. But 3D printers are a work in progress. On the horizon are printers that can replicate and manufacture other 3D printers. It's not possible. Not yet.
That report from WBUR Bostonomics reporter Bruce Gellerman. And Bruce is with us in the studio. Did you say at the end of it that there are 3D printers that can manufacture other 3D printers?
Well, not yet.
Not yet. So they'd be able to replicate themselves,
exactly.
Though?
Exactly. You wouldn't even need workers, you know? It's incredible.
Wow. Well, yeah. That was, and I have to say the sound of that violin was quite haunting.
Mm-hmm. Not a Stradivarius.
Not yet. yet seems to be this... the theme here. Now, the technology, though, that we've been talking about, 3D printing, for example, has been around for decades. Where does it go next? Where is the yet?
Well, you know, we've come a long way, Magda, from, like, you know, plastic tchotchkes like the tiny Eiffel Towers and you know, Godzillas. But now the materials are getting much more sophisticated, much more advanced. Glass, I mentioned, metals that can tolerate different stresses and strains. Plus, then you've got the cost of these machines going way down. They're relatively cheap. And so you've got these new materials, you've got the cheap machines, and now you've got this data. That's the important thing. So you can mine data using sensors that can go on anything from you to a car. And then you have cheap microprocessors. That's almost not even negligible cost. And now you can produce, go right from data to product.
Right.
And the materials are very exotic. So they're talking about human biotissue, mm-hmm. making organs out of 3D printers, with 3D printers. I mean, skin, heart. It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. There have already been some 3D printed sort of harder cartilaginous materials that have been used in people, right?
Right, gels. They're starting, but their vascular system is the new breakthrough, and I'm going to be reporting on that in the near future.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Looking forward to that. Okay, so you know, given the sort of supply chain or the production chain, mm-hmm. you were just describing about, you could ostensibly go straight from data to an end product, mm-hmm. practically. That would put people at the beginning of the line, at the end of the line, but what about in the middle?
Well, exactly. Well, the thing is, we sent all these jobs overseas, right? Because the cheap labor, that was the reason jobs went overseas. All the products, all the you know, the commodities, all the raw materials, those are worldwide prices. So really, it was the labor. Now, if you do away with the labor in a 3D printer, well, you know, the incremental cost of producing, you know, 1 or 1,000 is negligible. So, you know, who's going to buy your product? I'm reminded that Henry Ford. Remember, Henry Ford was the new industrial age. He mass production. You could have any car you wanted as long as it was black.
right? And he mass produced them like crazy. Now, but what people forget is that he didn't just industrialize the factory, right? But he industrialized the workers. He produced people who could buy the products that they made,
mm-hmm.
right? And he was sure of that. Now, if you don't have workers making the products, where are the customers going to be to buy your products? So that could be, you know, the future of work could be the end of work.
Bruce, you know, a sobering but probably an apt way to end our conversation today. That's WBUR's Bostonomics reporter, Bruce Gellerman. Bruce, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
And by the way, WBUR's Future of Work series will conclude this afternoon on All Things Considered, where MIT economist Andrew McAfee is going to be talking about how machines, just like Bruce has been talking, will affect the future of work. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.